You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of RavensWire. And we return here. It is a Monday episode, and you know, it kind of feels like a special Monday episode today, as some great news was shared over the weekend about this Baltimore Ravens team. And that was that they signed edge rusher Justin Houston to a one-year, up to $4 million deal. And if you know me, if you've been, you know, alongside me for, you know, whether it's been a year or whatever, however long someone's been here, I have been talking about Justin Houston for, it seems like forever, but really ever since he became a free agent, you know, around March of 2019, probably a little bit before that, because, you know, after the season ended in 2019, that's when I kind of started to look at fits for Baltimore. And this was before I had the show, but it's been a long time coming for me, so I am ecstatic about this move, and I want to talk all about it, to be honest. So we're going to dedicate two segments here to Justin Houston. We're going to talk about one in the first segment coming up, just why the Ravens decided to make this move, why it makes sense for them, you know, potentially what took so long. So we're just going to get into the actual move itself and who Houston is as a player. And then in the second segment, I want to talk a bit about just what it means for the team, because this move, it's kind of a chain reaction of implications in a couple different areas, and you know, both things will overlap with each other. We'll probably talk about some stuff in the first segment that should go in the second in the first, but it all just overlaps. So we'll dedicate two segments here to Justin Houston, and then in the final segment, I do want to get into training camp updates, as Baltimore had their open stadium practice over the weekend, and it was great to see fans back in the stadium. It's an exciting time for sure, because that energy that M&T Bank Stadium has with the fans in it is unmatched, unlike any other. So talking about that in the third segment will be fun, just getting into what the stadium practice was like, who increased their stock, who has decreased their stock, and stuff along those lines. So again, two segments dedicated to Justin Houston and one at training camp. In the first segment, we'll get into Justin Houston and what he is, who he is, and why the move happened and why it makes sense. In the second segment, we'll talk a bit about just what it means for the team and in a couple different areas, and then in the final segment, we'll get into training camp, the open stadium practice. So let's dive right in here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Anywhere there's a podcast, we are there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. And also be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens is the show account for show updates. And at KOstreicher34 is my personal account for any Ravens news, analysis, actual Ravens updates, any free agent signing analysis, trade analysis, draft analysis, game updates and game live tweets, and much, much more. So let's jump right in. Justin Houston talk here on Locked On Ravens. And let's start it off again. Justin Houston signing a one-year, $4 million deal with the Ravens. I mean, me personally, I love it. I love this move. Justin Houston has been someone I have been talking about for ages on this show, on Twitter, you know, on RavensWire, wherever it is, whenever someone asked me, who's an ideal target for you for the Ravens? This was before 2021 free agency. Justin Houston signed a two-year deal with the Colts. You know, he was a potential trade target for me if Indianapolis didn't do well in 2020. I liked him in the 2019 offseason. It has been all about Justin Houston for me. And the reason is because he fits what the Ravens do right now, and he fills a role. He's not going to be asked to come in and play 80% of snaps or 90% of snaps. This is going to be a situational pass rushing role for him. He probably doesn't want to play the run as much anymore. He's definitely more of a situational pass rusher, but that's good news for the Ravens because that's what they needed. They needed a situational pass rusher who could get them consistent pressure off the edge. And I want to make clear off the bat that, you know, me talking about Justin Houston and praising Justin Houston and all this stuff, this is not, you know, any slight towards the edge group they have right now. I like Tyus Bowser a lot. I like Adafe Owe a lot. There are a bunch of talented players in that Ravens edge room that were, even if they didn't sign Houston, I think they would have been able to potentially manage. But now Houston is on the team, and it rounds out this Ravens roster. Arguably the biggest hole on this Ravens team, and in my opinion it was a consistent pass rusher, because you didn't really know what you were getting out of Tyus Bowser. You didn't really know what you were getting out of Jalen Ferguson or Adafe Owe or Dalen Hayes, and Pernell McPhee isn't really that pass rush, you know, 10-12 sack guy anymore. So now Houston gives you 97.5 career sacks in 10 seasons. He has been as consistent as ever. He has barely slowed down. He's still putting up solid sack numbers. I mean, in his two seasons with Indianapolis, where some were starting to question, you know, will he slow down at the age of 30 when he signed that deal? 11 sacks in his first year in Indianapolis in 2019 and 8 in his second season in 2020. But now it's going to be on the Ravens to manage his snaps. Well, this reminds me of another signing, and no, they're not the same exact player, but Elvis Dumervil. You know, obviously he came to Baltimore on a fax snafu, but he kind of reminds me of the same, you know, situational pass rush guy. You know, he can play the run sometimes, but you're not going to put him on the field there because you have other players. You know, Adafe Owe against the run. Pernell McPhee is a very good run defender. Tyus Bowser sets the edge very well also. They have guys who can play other roles on this edge group or in this edge group that I think you can put Houston in a 50-60% snap area and be content with the production that he gives you because of the fact that he is still a very solid player at this age. And I think another thing to talk about is the salary. I know that things probably got held up a little bit, and those were the reports and the rumors, you know, that Justin Houston wanted a bit of money, and the Ravens, you know, they had a set salary cap. They had a set amount of money, and they could not go into Justin Houston's price range. But John Harbaugh said after the open stadium practice that Houston wanted to play in Baltimore and be in Baltimore for months, and it definitely seemed like the money was the holdup. There were a couple of other things he mentioned also, but that seems to be the main thing. And at the end of the day, you know, the season's getting ready to kick off, and I know Houston probably wants to be a big part of this team come week one, and it's going to take a little while to get him actually into the stadium and into the facility to work him out. You know, long story short, John Harbaugh did say that Houston still needs to get vaccinated, so that whole process will, you know, have to play out, and everything that goes into it will go into it. But when he is vaccinated, he will be allowed in the building and ready to practice with his teammates. It'll be a ramp-up period, though. You know, this is a very late signing in the offseason. Houston's going to have to get familiar with a very complex playbook. Indianapolis, when he was there in both years, ranked in the very bottom of the league, including 31st out of 32 teams last year in blitz percentage. Baltimore, obviously, over the past two seasons, has ranked really highly, number one, both seasons in 2019 and in 2020. So I think there will be a bit of an adjustment period, but at the same time, I think that that's okay because he can still give you production while the other guys in the edge group find their way as well. So it's all going to be a learning experience. I mean, the first couple weeks of the season, you always see the most sloppy football there anyway. And then after that, I think he's, you know, it'll be smooth sailing ahead. No hiccups is what I'm trying to say. So again, ecstatic, exciting, you know, all words that I could use to describe my feelings. And I know a lot of other people's feelings with this signing. A lot of other people had Houston on their radar for Baltimore, and it just made sense. It really did make sense. Now, 1 year, $4 million, as I talked about a little earlier there. I mean, what a steal for a guy who was arguably by far and away the best free agent left on the market. He's someone who can provide them snaps at a position that they needed, someone to come in there and play that veteran pass rushing role. And we'll talk about this a bit in the second segment, but the mentorship, the veteran leadership that he's going to bring to this team, especially to a young positional group outside of Pernell McPhee, is very, very valuable in its own right. But to get a guy who is going to play a key part on this team so late in the offseason, right? Baltimore, at the start of free agency, people were not happy. They were not happy about what Eric DaCosta was doing. They signed Kevin Zeitler. A couple weeks later, they got Sammy Watkins. But, you know, the edge position group was a group that many had questions about, especially after seeing Matthew Judon and Yannick Ngakoue and Jihad Ward leave, and it became, all right, are the Ravens really going to trust these young guys, guys who have never really been, you know, the first pass-rushing option in their careers? Look, I think Tyus Bowser is a phenomenal player and can certainly move up and work his way up to being a number one edge guy on the Baltimore Ravens. Absolutely, I do. But for right now, I think he's a much better high-end second edge rusher on this team with the potential to, again, ascend his skills under a guy like Houston. And then next year or 2 years from now, he can be that 10-sack guy because I think with more snaps, he certainly has that potential. So all in all, I mean, this move is one that I am overly just, I keep coming back to excitement. There's nothing else to describe it. It's a move that I think moves the needle. I've talked about that before. Guys like Olivier Vernon, even Melvin Ingram to an extent, other guys as well, didn't really move the needle enough for the Ravens to really go out there and sign them, or at least have it worth it to go out there and take a roster spot away, take playing time away from a young promising player such as Jalen Ferguson or Dalen Hayes or someone else. But Houston is an absolute needle mover that I think is a piece to elevate a team to a Super Bowl. He apparently turned down less money from an AFC North rival. You know, that's all but confirmed as the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he wanted to be in Baltimore. This was the place he wanted to play. The contract he signed shows that, because he is worth much more than up to $4 million with just under a $1.1 million base salary. His play, his leadership, his everything on the field, off the field, impact is worth so much more than that. So Justin Houston is now a member of the Baltimore Ravens. I think it's a good day here in Baltimore. It was a good Saturday with the Houston news and the open stadium practice, but this team definitely took another step towards achieving their ultimate goal, and that is winning the Super Bowl in 2021. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to continue with our Justin Houston talk and get into what the move means for the Ravens. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors, including coconut, raspberry, double chocolate, salted caramel, cookies and cream, and German chocolate? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that raspberry or mint brownie or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And we are back. We are here with our second segment of this Monday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you. And we just talked about the Justin Houston move. Well, we're going to talk about it some more here in this second segment, as we're going to get into just what it means for the Ravens. And we did talk about some points in the first segment that I will bring up again. But for the most part, this move has a couple of bigger implications for not only, you know, Houston and the Ravens defense itself, but for players on the Baltimore roster. So that's mainly what I want to get into here. The Ravens last season, if people remember, the Ravens had 5 edge rushers to start the year. And then they end up trading for Yannick Ngakoue, and that made it 6 edge rushers. And it became a bit overcrowded, I'd say, at the edge position, because you had 6 guys who you wanted to play if you're the Ravens. And you just could not, because they needed active offensive linemen, active defensive linemen, active secondary depth, you know, active everybody. So you couldn't activate all those guys because they just needed other positional depth come game day. And so there were a couple of, I think, playing time disagreements with a couple players. Obviously, the fifth outside linebacker, active game day spot, really came down between Jalen Ferguson and Jihad Ward most weeks. And honestly, Jihad Ward got the short end of the stick, I think, a couple too many times there. And, you know, the free hottie hashtag started, and for some Ravens players got in on it. You know, obviously, Jihad Ward was the one who started it, and, you know, he felt that he deserved playing time. I know that, I think there was a report or a rumor or just some rumblings that some Ravens players went to coaches and said, you know, Jihad Ward deserves to play. I don't know how true that is, but I'm just saying I heard a couple rumblings of that just on Twitter or something. I can't remember exactly where I found it, but that was a rumor, a report that I saw. So if that's true or not, you know, who knows? But if it is, that just goes to show that they were kind of trying to juggle playing talented players, but they just couldn't play them all. So I don't anticipate Baltimore keeping 6 edge rushers this season. And when you look at, you know, the top 5 in my eyes right now, or actually, let's go top 6. We look at the top 6 right now: it's Justin Houston, Tyus Bowser, Pernell McPhee, Adafe Owe, Dalen Hayes, and Jalen Ferguson. Those are your 6 guys who I think realistically deserve to make the team one way or the other, based off of skill set, you know, experience, or production, or potential, or whatever. Those are the 6 guys who I anticipate should make this Baltimore roster. Then you have other bubble guys like Aaron Adoye and Chauncey Rivers, new signing Chris Smith. So honestly, in my opinion, those guys I don't think will make it unless they have an out-of-this-world, like, 10-sack preseason. But at the end of the day, you have practice squad depth there, so that's good. And so if the Ravens aren't keeping 6 edge rushers and instead decide to keep 5, and, you know, if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. Let's think about who would be the odd man out, because, again, all 6 of those guys, in my opinion, deserve to make the roster because of one reason or another. But honestly, in my opinion, if one of those 6 I just listed off were to go, and, you know, the Ravens decide to get rid of one of them, my prediction, it's a tough one, but I think it's Jalen Ferguson. Ferguson has not really flashed at training camp so far. It seems like the Ravens expected a lot out of him, as they should. They should expect a lot out of all their players. but through two seasons has only had 4.5 sacks. And that's a little concerning considering the fact that Ferguson broke Terrell Suggs' FBS sack record at Louisiana Tech. So, you know, the college game just has not translated over for him to the pros. He has shown some flashes for sure. I'm not saying he's an awful player. I think he has a ton of potential to get back to the player he was in college. But he's struggled with some assignments and letting guys go when he shouldn't, and overcommitting to some plays and being caught out and stuff. He's shown some nice bull rush ability at times, and he has a motor there too, but sometimes even the motor has seemed a bit inconsistent. You know, I'm not saying he's not a hard worker or anything like that, nothing of the sort. But, you know, you can just tell something's a little off with him. And it's tough because he has such a skill set where he has such power to his game. He's no finesse edge rusher or anything like that, but that's not an issue for him. Like, he has a frame, he is able to go out there and do some things, but you know, Houston is obviously a lock. Bowser's obviously a lock. Owe's obviously a lock. And McPhee is obviously a lock. So it comes down to Dalen Hayes and Jalen Ferguson. Do the Ravens stash Dalen Hayes on IR for a year? Yeah, he's shown flashes in training camp. I don't think that's the case. So at that point, it becomes a battle between Hayes and Ferguson. And I don't think the Ravens are going to give up on a fifth-round rookie who they seem very high on. Hayes has, again, shown those flashes so far in training camp. So, look, this is not me saying Jalen Ferguson has not made the team. This is nothing set in stone for me right now. He could certainly have a solid preseason, get back on track in training camp, and show that he is one of the stock-up guys instead of a stock-down guy. But for now, and I'm evaluating things, I've always done this based on today. What is going on today? Who is on the roster today? Right now, Jalen Ferguson does not make my 53-man roster from the Ravens. And this is before preseason. It's still very early in training camp. A lot can change at this point for sure. But I just don't see a way Ferguson makes the roster at this point, because what Houston's signing brings is a guy who pushes a guy out of playing time, a guy who pushes a guy out of a roster spot. And that's the unfortunate part of the NFL business is, you know, you can't just add on a 54th or 55th or 56th roster spot. You know, you have to get down to the 53 guys. And with all the depth the Ravens have right now at the position, it's going to create some roster crunches. You know, I think a wide receiver who deserves to make the roster isn't going to make it. I think an outside linebacker who deserves to make the roster is not going to make it. You know, offensive linemen, running backs, tight ends, safeties, corners, whatever position there is, there are going to be some guys who don't make this roster who absolutely deserve to and who absolutely could start on a plethora of NFL teams. So that's from like an actual roster perspective, just how things might shake out. Again, keeping 5 edge rushers over 6, I think, is the smart move, just to avoid that playing time unhappiness with people, if there is any. You also get to keep depth at other positions, which I think is very important, such as offensive line, maybe secondary as well, which will be big. So, again, something I talked about a bit earlier in that first segment is the leadership. I mean, you look at Tyus Bowser and Adafe Owe, Dalen Hayes, and Jalen Ferguson too, right? All guys who could learn a thing or two, you know, from a veteran. And Pernell McPhee has done a great job in that role. He is one of the leaders, one of the mentors on that team. But it never hurts to have another guy in there, another veteran in there with a guy like Pernell McPhee, who has shown that he is definitely every bit of a leader. In Houston, with his 97.5 career sacks, his experiences playing throughout the NFL for 10 seasons, he's now entering his 11th year. That's stuff that can't be taught unless you have the guy there with you. And I think it's going to benefit guys like Adafe Owe the most and Dalen Hayes the most. And then, you know, it's also going to benefit guys like Tyus Bowser and Jalen Ferguson a ton as well. Those guys are all going to have opportunities to learn from an accomplished NFL player, an arguable future Hall of Famer in Justin Houston, right? There are so many things that can be learned from so many different players at the NFL game, and it's whether you're lucky enough to share a roster, share a team with them or not. And right now, those young edge rushers are going to have the opportunity of a lifetime to continue to learn from Pernell McPhee, to learn from Calais Campbell, and also to learn from Justin Houston, who was a great addition in that regard. And Adafe Owe already talked about it a bit. He said, yeah, I've learned so much from Calais Campbell already, but just to have a guy like that, you know, he thinks is going to be great. So I'm excited to see what Houston can end up bringing to the table in multiple facets of the game on the field, and obviously off of it as well for sure. But it's going to create another roster crunch. This team, honestly, in my opinion, is one of the deepest teams from a pure depth perspective on the 90-man roster that we've seen in recent memory. And that just goes to show how well Eric DaCosta has built this team. It's not perfect. No roster is perfect. You know, some safety depth would be nice. Some defensive line depth potentially also would be nice. You know, you could maybe go for some more experience at the left guard position, but none of that matters at this point right now. Now, if injuries happen or inconsistent play happens, then it becomes a different story, and then it begins to matter a bit more. But I think the Ravens rounded out their roster with this move. It's going to present some tough challenges in the future, but those are challenges that I think the Ravens are pleased to be facing, because it's better to have a ton of depth and have to cut from it than no depth and not have any for the season. So Houston is a great signing. He's someone who is going to make an impact immediately, and I'm ecstatic about this move. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be getting into training camp and talking about the last few days of practice. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can check all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including NBA and UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the runs of the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return with our final segment of this episode of Locked On Ravens here on Monday, August 2nd. Kevin Ostreicher is still here with you, and we're now getting closer and closer, not to training camp, but to the preseason, the NFL preseason for the Ravens, which will kick off actually quite soon for this team. But now we're going to talk about training camp these last couple days that have really, you know, been a whirlwind because of the Houston signing and obviously the open stadium practice. But there's been a lot that's gone on in terms of position battles. And I will say, look, it's still early and there's a lot of time to go. Guys can improve their stock still, decrease their stock still. So, again, a lot of wiggle room for a lot of guys on the roster. But, you know, based off of what I've seen so far, there have been some guys in my eyes who have definitely raised their stock and others who have dropped their stock and lowered that. So, for this team, you know, the wide receiver battle is one that I know a lot of people are talking about right now. And it's one of the most important ones, for sure. I mean, this improved receiver group from top to bottom, I think, has to be spot on. And that's not, you know, bashing anybody at the top or bashing anybody at the bottom. But the more good depth you have at any position, the better your team's going to be. And I think the Ravens have, again, as I've talked about before, a lot of tough decisions to make across the entire roster. So the five receivers who, in my opinion, are safe: Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, Sammy Watkins, Devin Duvernay, and Tylan Wallace. Those are the five I think are absolutely safe. The sixth receiver spot, to me, comes down to Miles Boykin and James Prochet. Now, other guys have definitely flashed Jalen Moore, for example, but, you know, it definitely comes down to Boykin and James Prochet. Now, a lot of people have been saying, oh, just let's keep seven, because, you know, all these guys deserve to make the roster, and I agree. I think all seven do deserve to make the roster, and even more in there as well, but you just can't. You can't do it, especially for how often the Ravens run the football. This is a run-heavy offense. I don't think they can justify keeping seven wide receivers with the amount of times they run the football. So they have to make that decision. And to me right now, who was up their stock the most during training camp? There have been a few guys, but to me, James Prochet is definitely among them. James Prochet has seemingly caught everything he's been thrown. And at the stadium training camp practice, I mean, James Prochet was the best one there. He caught, again, almost everything that was thrown his way. He really didn't have any bad plays, bad reps during that. And This is a what have you done for me lately league. You know, sprinkled in with you're a veteran, you have the experience, you have the production, we're going to play you. But really, it's a, you know, we're going to give you this amount of wiggle room, and it's a what have you done for me lately league, plus the veteran part of it, you know. So it's a lot that goes into playing time and goes into roster spots and goes into who stays, who goes. But James Prochet is definitely in that, you know, what have you done for me lately crowd, because he's done it. He's done almost everything lately, and he's made a good case for a roster spot for sure, and a bold prediction that's not looking so bold right now as James Prochet ends the year as the Ravens' number four wide receiver, which, health willing and everything, is not that far-fetched, because I think that all these guys can contribute, you know, Duvernay and Wallace if he gets to playing time, and obviously the big three there of Brown, Bateman, and Watkins. So yeah, those guys all have a chance, but Prochet is, you know, sharp with his routes, really good hands. He can get open. He can do stuff after the catch. So many things he can do that he's shown on the football field. Now, Miles Boykin, on the other hand, hasn't shown a ton. You know, again, at the stadium practice, didn't really do a lot compared to Prochet. And Boykin is an example of the veteran who has done something. And that something is blocking. You know, he hasn't really shown a lot of receiving prowess so far. Hasn't really been on the same page as Lamar Jackson, really, throughout his 2 years in the NFL. But blocking is important, especially from the wide receiver position in this offense in particular. And Boykin has proven to be the best blocker at the position that the Ravens currently have. And Prochet doesn't offer the skill set in the way that Boykin does in that regard. So if the Ravens value blocking, it's going to be Boykin. If the Ravens value pure receiving, it's going to be Prochet. That's really how I look at it. It's a very cut and dry way of looking at it, but it's honestly the right way to look at it for a lot of different people, in my opinion, because it'll show what the Ravens value. Either thing that they value, I don't think it's wrong, but in my opinion, I think Prochet has shown more at this moment. Again, at this moment, there's room for Boykin to improve. There is time for Boykin to up his stock for sure. And there's a chance Prochet struggles for some days too. Not everybody has, you know, a million good days and no bad days at camp. You know, everybody goes through their struggles. So I'm very pleased with Prochet. I'm very happy with what he's done so far. He is proving that he deserves a spot on the roster, which is really good for him and Boykin. There's still time and there's still ability for him to kind of climb up that depth chart and see what happens with him. At the edge rusher position, we talked about it a bit. I think Jalen Ferguson hasn't really done a ton this camp. Guys like Adafi Owe and Dalen Hayes have really flashed. And yeah, it's really been a nice thing to see the rookies kind of contribute so far. I know there have been questions about Adafi Owe, you know, having no sacks in 2020 in college and coming and being a first round pick. Is that gonna translate? But the athletic traits you see out of this guy are just insanity. You see him, you know, sprinting with Tyler Huntley to the sideline. It's like, it's those things, those little things that it's like, all right, this guy's gonna be a good player. Not just pass rushing, but doing a bunch of different things in a very versatile defense. Ardarius Washington flashes on a couple days. It seems like the Ravens are using him on those safety blitzes a little bit and seeing what he can do there and those up at the line blitzes for a secondary player. Ardarius Washington can play a bunch of different positions. You know, he can play that free safety, ball hawk, true center field role. He can also play up in the slot, play that nickel corner, and do a bunch of things there. They've played Nigel Warrior, the safety, on the outside a bit to see his positional versatility. Justin Madubuike has been someone who, I mean, just insanity in training camp so far. He's blown up run plays, gotten interior pressure, been really good in that regard. I mean, it's just all the stuff you see for guys like Prochet and Madubuike and even Josh Oliver on Twitter and on social media, and the Ravens are posting about it and everything. It's just, you can kind of get a feel for it and see, you know, who's doing well, who's not so far. You know, getting those training camp updates from different people, It all just kind of meshes and flows into one, which is really good. I mean, you know, everybody who takes a close look at this team has a good sense of what they do and who they are, which is really nice to be a part of. So, you know, for me in particular, I've been very impressed with a lot of different people. You know, I list off a couple more guys. Rashad Bateman has been impressive. And just, you know, everything that has been said about Rashad Bateman so far is great to hear, because I know obviously some people are on the Terrace Marshall train, others are on the Bateman train, and to see, you know, he's kind of tearing it up. I mean, that training camp touchdown at the stadium that he had against Marlon Humphrey, he's already doing that, and it's his fourth ever training camp practice at the NFL level, so he's going to be a good one for sure. I know Ben Cleveland has had some struggles a bit. You know, I don't think anything has been overly terrible with him, but it's going to take a bit of an adjustment period, I think, for him as well. You know, I think a lot of people are putting these very, very high expectations on a third-round rookie, which is fine. You know, I think he has the potential to be great in his rookie season, but on the other flip side of that, it might take a bit of time for him to adjust to the game, which is completely okay for me. I know the Ravens have been using Tyree Phillips in a bunch of different roles, and, you know, obviously with no Gus Edwards there, they've used J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill and Tyson Williams and all those guys out there. So, again, at the cornerback position, you have Chris Westry, who's played well, and obviously some of the other guys who, you know, are excited to be back out there. Tavon Young, it's nice to see him be practicing out there, and we're obviously waiting on guys like Ronnie Stanley and Nick Boyle whenever he gets back, and a couple others as well. Otara Alaka was activated off the physically unable to perform list of practice, so whether he moves off from number 50 for Justin Houston is going to be an interesting thing. But overall, yeah, a really nice start to Ravens training camp. You know, we still have a long way to go for sure, and Spencer Schultz will be with us tomorrow to talk about what he's seen at training camp so far, which will be really nice. But that's all that I have for you today. And when we get back tomorrow, we'll be Spencer Schultz joining the show and talking everything training camp, Justin Houston, and much, much more. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.